We've counted somewhere between 300 and 400 kids were likely sexually abused over the 2 years those guys were there. You know, what's scary, and where Americans need to wake up. Mm-hmm. We call this a hidden war because...
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these. But did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
So for people that have no context about you or this issue in the world and in the U.S., what is OUR, the mission that you guys have, and how bad is the problem in the world right now?
So Operation Underground Railroad is our foundation. We're a nonprofit, and we strive to empower law enforcement and aftercare services in the extraction and healing of child sex victims, and often it's adult sex victims as well.
Right.
And so we are in, we have five regions. We have offices in five different regions, so the sun never sets anymore on our operations, which is very exciting for us. Mm-hmm. And we're just constantly working with law enforcement. And they ask us to do different things, you know. There's so many ways to attack it because it's enormous, right? There's millions of people. There's more people enslaved today than ever before in the history of the world, which is shocking to people because they think their textbooks tell them that it ended with Abraham Lincoln and the end of the transatlantic slave trade. It's like, no, it's reared its ugly head again, and there's more people now than ever. Slave labor, sex, and organ harvesting, which is becoming a bigger thing, believe it or not. And so we seek to empower law enforcement. Sometimes it means trainings that we do or equipment. Oftentimes they ask us to go undercover because our guys and girls are all, most are former law enforcement, our operators or military, and they can infiltrate very rapidly.
Right.
Especially if they look like they're Westerners. Sure. And that's a bad thing, by the way, for us who live in this country, because what it says is we are the demand. Mm-hmm. And we are. We're the largest consuming country, the United States.
Of what?
Of child sex videos.
Wow. Would that also include sex engagements with kids or more consuming, child pornography?
Correct. It's the consumption of the child exploitation material, child rape videos. And we are in the top three for destination countries because if the demand is here, the traffickers would love to get the kids here.
Right.
So we see that happening. A lot of that's happening right now with the failed border enforcement. People can just come right in. Kids are coming. I know they're coming in. We're seeing this happening, and so we can easily play the role of what the like preferred client looks like.
Right.
So traffickers all over the world see us, and we put ourselves in the right place. We know where to go, and they welcome us in, and boom, we can infiltrate rapidly, get the evidence back to law enforcement, and they can pursue.
And how many, I guess, what do you call them, extractions, where you've gone in and rescued or either arrested people that are pedophiles or dealing with the local kind of sex slavery in these different regions? How many people have you arrested or captured, and how many kids have you supported in this process in the last 8 years?
So we are just under 5,000 arrests. Wow. That we've supported.
All around the world.
All around the world. We've done thousands, a couple thousand operations, supported, you know, directly or indirectly. And then the number of actual people that we've been able to extract and help get into recovery is over 6,000.
It's incredible, man.
Yeah.
6,000.
Women and children, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. How does it make you feel when you think of those 6,000 faces that have better lives now?
It's, you know, it's interesting. I love to see those people or know their names, because I don't ever like to get into statistics, you know.
Right.
Because if you go statistics, 6,000 versus literally millions, you know, people say, oh, that's a drop in the bucket. And I just get, because I'm like, you know what? I've done operations before. Like there was a target in Mexico that we worked on for over a year, this trafficking organization. We could not get in. We'd get this close and then get torn away. Close again, and I'm like, the money's building up, and I'm getting pressure from the financial division of our, like, Tim, you got to stop. I can't stop. I know we're this close. And we finally broke through about 6 months ago, and it was one of the operations that I participated on personally, and it was one kid. But this was one little boy who he had been, it had been years. We think he was about 9 or 10 when it started. He still looked 9 or 10 to me. But it had been a couple of years into this, And I remember we found him, and I saw him on the beach for the first time, and they're trying to sell him to me. Had all the videos undercover. Oh, and I remember we called it Operation Football, you know, soccer ball, really, yeah. If you translate it. And because as we walked away, the little boy said, Señor, mister, he's like, it's the first time he spoke, and he said, he knew we were coming back, right, to do horrible things to him.
Oh.
He says, could you bring me a soccer ball when you come back?
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like biting my, just like, oh my gosh. That night, it was a crazy case, because that night they were supposed to bring the kid to our house. We'd like to control the settings. We had a sting house. And then they called us and said, hey, another cartel, you're just outside our cartel zone. We can't risk this kid. They said, this kid's a golden goose. We make so much money.
Oh,
we cannot take him out of, like, they will kill us, like the cartel bosses. And so they said, you got to come to this hotel. And it was our intel people look it up. It's owned by cartel. And it's like fatal funnels everywhere. It's one of these hotels that it's just
no
a garage.
You can't get out.
It's only a garage door open because it's for sex, you know. And so you go and they close the door.
Oh my gosh.
And you go upstairs. It's just one single room. Nothing's connected.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember our guys were like, Tim, you can't go. I'm like, screw, are you kidding me? And I do a little trick. This is why it's about the individual for me. Because it was super dangerous. We didn't have time to be forward deployed. They had the kid out. The golden goose was out for just one day. And they were going to take him back. They said, if you don't come now, you're not going to get him.
Oh my God.
And I had to go because I was the face they knew, right?
Right.
And I remember we were in the sting house that never was, right? And I take two steps to the side. I remember this kid, I find the kid of mine who's closest in age. I do this every time.
Of your child.
I have 9, as you know.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's easy for me to find whatever kid we're looking for. I'll find one of mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to avoid doing this because it hurt too much. And then there came a day in my career where I was like, no, let it happen.
Wow.
Let that kid be your kid. Otherwise, I might not go. You know?
Right.
I might not go. And I remember walking away and this is what happens usually. And I see, in this case, it was my son Luke, who's closest in age to him. I think 11 or 12, or I can't remember the exact age, but, and then I asked myself a simple question. If that was Luke, what would you do? Mm. It's a no-brainer.
Right.
If it was Luke, I'd go there. And now, who am I to say, well, it's not my kid, then forget about it. Well, as it turns out, as I could have imagined, there was no parents.
Right.
We still haven't found the parents. He doesn't know. He was taken from another part of Mexico. He doesn't know where he's from, right? All he knows is he's getting raped every day. And the only adults in his life are responsible. So then it's easy. It's like, that's my son. That's it.
Wow.
And we went in and we brought three soccer balls and some Legos and took care of him. We went undercover and got the information we needed. The cops stormed the place, got the kid out. And I'll tell you what, I get reports all the time. He's doing awesome.
Wow.
We have him at one of our partner foundations that do the aftercare. He has a there's a soccer field there.
Oh,
he's,
man.
And he's just as happy as kid. He's free. He's free, you know.
Wow.
And then I went back to my team after that operation and said, I'm going to show you the bill. This has been over a year. This is how much it cost.
For one kid.
For one kid. I said, did you guys think we would save more than this? Of course. We thought it would be 20 plus. And I said, was it worth it? Or would you go back and say, we wouldn't do this again? Are you kidding? It's worth it. And then I asked him again, another question. I try to always do this when I'm there. And,
So break it down what happened. So you went to the hotel.
Yeah.
And it's super shady and sketchy.
Oh, yeah,
and
I
you're
remember.
Like, okay, I'm going to go in this, you know, trap door essentially.
Yeah.
And what, you go up into the room soccer balls? And,
So I'll explain. So this, we had a house.
And you're dressed like a...
I got a wig and a fake scar and fake eyes, you know.
And you're acting like a pedophile.
Absolutely.
That you're looking to pay for sex with a child.
With this kid.
Yeah.
So we have a house with 7 cameras for the evidence, right?
Right.
And there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can do after that.
Right.
So when they call and say, just kidding.
Come here.
It's like we have nothing. So you know my you were just talking about one of our partner organization operators, Jeremy Locke, right?
Yeah.
So he was with me, and that guy's got balls of steel. Like,
yes.
He'll do anything. So he's like, I'll forward deploy best I can. But he goes in first with a girl pretending he's going to, like, it's a sex place, right? And he calls, like, bro, there's very little I can do for you.
Wow.
Like, I got a room, but it's like these rooms don't even connect.
Oh,
like, the
gosh.
Only way in is to go through a garage. They're all individual garages. So you can get in and out without being seen,
gosh.
Right? You can bring prostitutes, or that's what it's designed for. And then the rooms, you go upstairs, and there's like a little like turntable, and you can buy like sex toys, and you buy it, they bring it to you, and you turn thing, and you pull out the... It's nuts, right?
Crazy.
So I go in with my small team, and there's just nothing we can do. It's just like, I don't care. I remember the team leader, he's like, Tim, you can't go. You can't go. You're the founder of this organization. I'm like, I'm the only one that has the face. They know. They're not... No, who's going to go? I'm not going to let this kid go. He's my son. It's Luke. I'm calling him Luke.
Right.
All right? I'm like, I'll do anything for Luke, you know? And, And so we go in, and...
So you're going in alone then at this point?
No, I'm not alone. I have 2 other people with me.
Gotcha.
And
they know it's fine that there's a couple people, or it's...
Yeah, because we're all going to have sex with this kid.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
It's horrible. Yeah, and we're going to film it, and it's going to be this, like...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's one person to film, and then 2 people are going to have
sex. And they knew that.
Oh, yeah. They helped design it. Yeah, they're like, you can do this.
My gosh.
And in the...
And how much would that cost for someone?
Oh, for a kid that young... To have him for the night was around $3,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's like 3 or 4 times what you would pay for like an adult sex worker, say.
And how often is that child being used?
Oh, every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Every day. Maybe more than once a day. Because he was booked for the next day.
Oh.
So that's why it was like, if you don't come now, guys, you can't. He's gone. That's why we had to make a choice, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So now we got to film this. Now, this is where it gets crazy, right? So we have some contingencies. I had a hat. With a camera, watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And Murphy's Law, I remember as we're driving over, both aren't functioning.
Break.
Yeah. It's like, I got a cell phone. So so we go in, we can't take more than 3 or it's going to be 2 suspicious. So us 3 go in, and we get to the traffickers meet us, and I go, okay, the kid's in that room.
Oh, my God.
And so we go up to see him, and we got soccer balls, and we give it to him. And so we're like, okay, come on in. He's like, well, no, we're doing the deal in the other room. I'm like, crap. Okay, I'm not leaving that kid alone. I'm definitely not with one person. Because once I see the kid, I'm never leaving him alone again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I instruct the 2 to stay with the kid because I don't want that kid to be alone. And I can't.
Because you haven't paid yet. Gotcha.
And they don't. They want to do the exchange in a different room.
Oh, my gosh.
So I give the instruction to the 2, stay. I don't want that kid alone. And I'm not going to have just, you never leave a victim with just one person. You have to, so there's a witness of anything that might happen, right? So I'm alone now. My team was pissed I was going, and now I'm alone going into the other room, through the garage, and all I have is my cell phone. I'll show you, it's hilarious. I'll show you the footage. It's crazy.
Wow.
So I'm just like holding my phone, you know, putting like wherever I can hold it. And, you know, I got good footage, and we did the exchange.
You're speaking in Spanish.
I speak Spanish, yeah. So I'm dealing with these guys, and, you know, they're freaking out. I remember at one point, one of the guys walked, he's open the window and looking to see if there's cops. And I know they're out there. There's 30 of them out there. the Mexican team.
Right.
And I'm freaking out if they'll see them. So I'm freaking out. This. So I say, you know what, this guy's too, what are you looking at, your sniper? Is that your sniper over there? You're sitting, no, I'm out of here. If you don't close this window, you know, so, okay, we'll close the window.
Wow.
You know, to block him from seeing.
Seeing those. Yeah,
so I wasn't there for maybe, you know, he sold me cocaine, which is like, well, you're already screwed. I guess why not throw a couple more years on your sentence?
Right.
So I bought the cocaine, the cops authorized that, and actually told me to do that. And the cop, there's one detective that's really close on the scene. And I eventually said, hey, I got a buddy coming up and you might hear his footsteps coming up, you know. And so I got him distracted, got him to say everything, every detail the kid is going to do, how much money.
Oh, my gosh.
We exchange. And you got to have
that
conversation.
On video.
Yeah, you got to have it on conversation recorded so they don't come back later.
And he didn't ask to like put your phone down or anything, or you're just kind of hiding it?
No, I did a really good job hiding it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you get the whole exchange.
Whole exchange. I remember when you gave me the cocaine, I was like, okay. And I kind of put the phone up. Like, the cocaine's like this big in the camera. It's like, it's like a little bag, but you know.
So you buy the cocaine first and then you pay the $3,000 or whatever for the act that night.
Yeah. And then I get him, say, hey, I want to make sure that when we go in there, we can do everything. Like,
oh my gosh.
So otherwise you wall them off, right? Cause later they'll say, we thought it was just a party. They're going to play soccer.
Right.
You know, you got to make sure it's on camera. Like, what am I going to do? And the grosser, the better for
oh
the case.
My gosh.
It was just horrifying because you're listening to this and saying, well, what if, and we know the right questions to ask that kind of induce them to speak their mind and their heart, which what the kid will or will not do.
Oh my gosh.
And so we got him every, like, yeah.
He's, to say everything.
You can do everything to
him. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and they're very clear about
how
that.
How do you stay in, I guess, character where you're thinking 30 minutes before this, I'll do whatever I can for my son, Luke. This is my son that I'm going to rescue, essentially, emotionally in your heart. But then when you enter this place, how do you not transfer back over emotionally to where you want to rip this guy's head off? And you have to be like a pedophile, acting like, yes, I can't wait to do this and this and this.
Yeah. So it's the weirdest thing. I've been doing this for 18 years and I've gotten better at it.
Right.
So I've learned over the years how to answer that question. In the beginning, it's really hard, you know? Like in the beginning, I'd actually go to therapists and I would actually train my mind.
Oh my gosh.
To like not see my kid.
Block it.
Yeah, to block this or block that. And then I eventually got to the point where I started letting my kid, I was ready to let my kid's face be superimposed. And I actually let it happen, wanted it to happen, because I realized I'm better, I'm more effective if it's my kid, right? And it's personal, you know? So I started doing that. But the weird thing about undercover work, and everyone's different how they apply different, you know, mental
techniques,
games.
Yeah.
But the only way I've learned so I don't just go, in the middle of the thing.
Because you know you have the end result, you need to finish it.
Right. Yeah, you will fail that kid. You'll fail that kid. And the other thing I do is I try to find the good in that person, because there is actually good in everybody.
Really?
It's hard to say this, but you find that they'll have a family. A lot of them have kids. And so you kind of focus on, like,
how can they do that when they have kids?
I cannot understand it. Like, I was on a case once where the guy was selling me all these kids, and then he pulls up a picture of this other little girl, and he's like, I'm like, isn't she beautiful? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's my daughter. I'm like, you're going to sell me your daughter? No, he was just showing me, isn't she beautiful? I'm like, dude, how did you just do that? Like, you were just selling me kids her age, and now you're like, proud daddy.
Right. Like, but you wouldn't sell her, but you'd sell these other
kids. You'll sell, it's someone else's kid you'll sell, but, you know, yours is just daddy. And so I focus on, like, whatever humanity is left in them.
Wow.
I focus on that so that I can find a connection. Otherwise, and I try to like that side of them.
So you
it's
try
really
to,
hard.
You try to buddy-buddy with them.
Yeah, but because you kind of make it real. Like, especially a long-term case, you've got to make a chemical connection, because spirits connect, right? Like, yeah.
How's your family? How's your wife? How's your kids?
Yeah.
How's business?
I want them to feel a genuine friendship. And it's really hard, because you start slipping back to, like, I want to
destroy this person.
Yeah. but you just go long enough and play that game, and then it's just this big relief when you see handcuffed. You're just like, and I usually start crying. Like, I try to get away before that.
Yeah.
Like, it might happen an hour later. It might happen a week later, but it always happens.
Yeah, there's a release.
Yeah, you have to, because you're holding a lot of stuff.
Oh my gosh, man.
You know, and especially if it's a case, again, dealing with children. That's, if it's a drug case, it's very, very different.
Yeah.
But these guys are hurting children. You see the kid. The kid thinks I'm going to hurt him. Like, that feels horrible. And they usually don't ever get to know. that you were actually there. You were the one that helped them, you know?
Oh, right, right, right.
Because you can't risk.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Sometimes, very rarely, it happens where the undercover, for some reason, gets to like, hey.
Later, yeah.
I was the
helping you. But if they're so young, they may not understand it fully in their brains, and they've been so...
Yeah. We rescued a kid in 2014, an Operation Triple Take in October 2014. And he stayed with our organization. He went through aftercare, and then he became an ambassador, and he started getting to know our aftercare team really well. And then he learned the story. He's an adult now, right? He's like 19 years old. It'd been like 8 years. And he said, I want to meet...
You.
Me.
Oh, my gosh.
But he remembers me. He knows who I am, but he also remembers that was the main guy.
The bad guy.
The bad guy. Oh. And he said, I want to meet him. So I went down to Cartagena.
When was this?
This was maybe like a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
I went down to Cartagena and to meet him. And, you know, he was excited. Dude, right when he walks into the house, I'm like, what's up, bro? And I said his name, and he just goes, gah! I'm like, reacted. I'm like, oh, like he couldn't. It's like I just walked away, like okay.
Wow.
He just couldn't. He's like, I'm sorry. No, I know you're a good guy, you know. And then he's a hairdresser. We helped him go through school and stuff. And so then we just he cut my hair, and then now we're buds, you know.
Right, right. But that trauma, you got to learn how to let go of that trauma.
Yeah. And I only went, by the way, because his aftercare folks said he wants to, it's time. And it was time.
It's a healing time, too, probably.
It was very healing for him.
Let me revisit it, which is always hard to do. It's scary. Yeah. It's traumatic to revisit the trauma.
Yeah.
There's going to be a period of, like, this is emotionally overwhelming, but the only way to allow yourself to heal is to really start facing it in some way.
Yeah.
And that's what worked for him, it sounds like. So what happened at the end of this in Mexico with this one boy? So you got the footage, you buy the cocaine, then you pay for the exchange.
Yeah.
And then what, you go back into the other room?
Nope. So once the exchange happens, that's for the prosecution in Mexico and in this jurisdiction, that's all they needed.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang and a Lufsen sound system, and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours today at Acura.com. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
So you didn't go back and see the kid?
No.
You just do what? You call someone?
I just text the cop, say, done, deal done. And then I told him, I said, hey, I have a friend coming who's going to be part of the party. He's going to film some. Okay, no problem. So I keep him distracted enough. And so I go open the garage real quick. He's coming, no problem. And then I keep him super distracted. And then I hear the footsteps coming up. And I'm like, oh, there they are. It's the cops, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, policía!
So you're in the room with the guy still, just kind of buddying with him, hanging out. You know in 60 seconds there's people coming up. How does that feel for you when you know there's going to be police coming in? Is it fearful? Is it exciting? Are you just waiting? Does it seem like it's hours when you send a text?
It always seems like it's
like
hours.
60 seconds later, they're there.
It always seems like hours. But you got
to. And what if they have guns? What if the bad guy has guns?
You don't know always. You do your best, but in this case, I had no.
Because you didn't have a weapon, did you?
No.
Because they'll probably check you usually.
Yeah,
right?
Even when I was in law enforcement, my personal preference, I've seen others choose differently, but I think it's more dangerous to have a gun. I've seen cases where because they see you have a gun,
it's more dangerous.
Right. Yeah. And I just would rather
they're on guard now. They're like getting their weapons out.
Yeah. I'd rather just act. I'm confident in my ability to act the part and disarm them that way. And I've never had issues. I've never had.
And you have communication skills to keep them connected. You have emotional skills. You can disarm them psychologically.
Correct.
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Communicating with them. Yeah. Humor, all these
make
things.
Them laugh. Like, yeah, if you keeping someone laughing,
it's relaxing,
and that's easy for me. I just act like a drunk version of myself always,
sure.
And just I can make jokes, and I'm like, I'll do crazy things. I'll start tickling guys, like
really,
yeah, like I'm drunk, like what's up, man? And they just can't help it because it's funny. I'm also patting them down, okay,
like, right.
But if you keep them funny, like if they're laughing and
they're like, okay, I'm gonna get paid. This is all fun.
Or are you talking about like, hey, what are you gonna do with the money, bro? Like, cause I'm gonna bring other friends. Like, you get them thinking about that,
ooh,
get that dopamine going for them.
Ooh,
like,
I'm gonna buy this and this.
Right.
Yeah.
Just keep them distracted. Yeah.
And you also have a lot of combat skills, like hand to hand.
Yeah.
Like, you could disarm if you needed to in a close.
I have things I can do on that front as well.
Right. But so you're not confident in that.
I'm confident enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't have a weapon, you could defend yourself enough. Yeah. So they came in, they come after the guy, they put him in handcuffs, and then...
Yeah, so they come in, and because, again, we had no choice, right? Because we went from a house with seven cameras, right. Both my undercover cameras fell.
So you're just filming with yourself?
No, this is funny, because I wanted to film as much as I could of the arrest. At this point, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, a normal person who's getting arrested knows they have to go face down. So I go back down. And I'm sure the traveler's like,
just like this.
This guy doesn't know how to get arrested. So I go back like this. I put my phone on my chest. I'm like, what? I lay down. And I got the shot. You know?
No way.
Yeah.
So did the guy knew that you were in on it then at that point?
No, because they really weren't looking. I didn't make it obvious. I just was like, whoa, I sat down in the corner.
So you
and then
thought
I kind of went
they were
back,
coming to get you too?
Yeah, because that's my safety. So I go out with them in handcuffs.
Because otherwise they might say, look out for this guy or whatever.
Right.
So you go out in handcuffs.
Yes.
You get arrested too, part of the
thing. And that's part of the strategy to go next level too, right? Because they don't want, like, who dimed this out? Who's you know, what's going on? They can... You can make it less suspicious, make them because you're trying to get next level. How do they find us? The lead might have really come from the law enforcement up here. They don't want them to make that connection. We might have informants into that organization. So if they say, we've been following this gringo for 6 months, he's been through Bali and Thailand, and then he came here. Oh, so this guy, you've been chasing him. That's how you found us.
Wow.
So then you keep safe other informants. They're hitting the organization. That makes sense? So they can use that tactic.
Very sophisticated.
And it keeps me safe because I can get out of the country and them thinking, where'd he go? Well, we sent him to Mexico City because he's American and he's going to get special punishment, whatever.
Wow.
And then we disappear.
So do you actually go to like the police officer? Or once you're in the car and drive away, they kind of let you go?
Yeah, they'll drive us usually to like the station.
And then?
Close the door, even bring us in sometimes, and then release us.
Wow.
And we wait a little bit and... put different clothes on, take the wigs off, whatever, and then just go out.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just back door.
Go to the airport. We get out right away.
Really?
Like, yeah, you don't want to hang out because people talk. And
so you go to the airport and you leave.
Immediately. Yeah. Anyone who's on the what we call the primary team, the undercover team, you got to get out of the country because people talk quick. And you don't even people in the police station. We always deal with that, corruption. So
where is this boy now? And when was this? 6 months ago, you said?
This was within the last year, yeah.
So what happens to someone once you rescue them and you get them out of this situation? What's the next year look like of their life? Whether it's one boy or 100 people at one time.
Yeah. So the aftercare portion is the most important part.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that piece, you didn't even do anything.
Yeah.
I've seen people go in and like they'll do like a rescue, whatever, and then they just leave. And frankly, that's how in the government we started. If I did international ops, I was told just leave. And the host government's in charge of that. We never do that anymore. Because what happens oftentimes,
they fall right back into it.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's even worse. Oh. It's a net negative.
Re-traumatized, yeah.
Because now they get kicked out, they process them, sign some paperwork, okay, see ya. And the kid goes out in the parking lot and the trafficker's there to beat the snot out of him.
Oh,
how did you get caught? Now the police are the bad guys. Look what happens to you. No, they avoid at all.
No.
So you could actually do net negative. You could do damage by going out and being stupid like some people do. I know some people.
Right.
So what's the next year look like then for them?
So then we don't begin an operation. Like if I'm sitting down in the very beginning with the law enforcement, because we won't work unless we get permission and signed up as informants or different, make it very legitimate. We have our aftercare team in that first meeting. And we tell them, if you don't agree that any of the kids we help you rescue, they have to go to where this director, our director, tells you they're going.
A certified place that we trust.
That we vetted.
Yeah.
And it just happened in that region. We had a really good partner. And that's why the more countries we're in, you know, some people take the model of like a few countries and do lots. We our model is as many countries and plant those seeds because we have faith in our ability to empower them.
Wow.
And then it's really good because you can talk to each other. So like if we rescue, we rescue a Venezuelan or a Colombian girl in Dominican Republic, and then we get them home, and then we have a team waiting for them already on aftercare. So so we always have that place, whether it's in the country or it's a home country.
Sure. So they go to an aftercare facility, some type of home where there's adult supervision of trusted vetted individuals that then do what? They give them a place to live.
Live, schooling, you know, recreation. Yeah. It's like a
safe environment.
It's a very safe environment. And we look for the parents. We look for family. And hopefully we can find...
What if the parents are the ones that were the ones selling
it? And oftentimes that's the case. Unbelievably, but oftentimes their family is involved. And so we just keep them in our home.
How do moms sell their children?
I don't know, man. It's one of these mysteries I'll never, never, never understand.
Have you talked to some of them afterwards and tried to ask them, like, what psychologically is off? Is it a fight or flight? Is it a survival mechanism?
It's survival.
But once you have the money, once you've sold your children a few times and you've made a couple thousand dollars in a very poor environment, don't you have at least some money for like the next month, like to stop at some point? Or like, why do they keep doing it? Is it greed?
It's just greed. And then just get used to it. Oftentimes I've found that the parents who are doing it, like, well, my mom did it to me.
Oh.
So it's
a cycle. They don't know any better.
They don't know. That's what they know. Yeah.
Oh, man. So what's the good side of this? What can people see after, you know, 6 months or a year? Do you start to see cases of kids that are starting to be, I don't know if you call it rehabilitated or healed?
Healed, like reintegrated.
Reintegrated from this horrible emotional traumatic process that could have been years of their life?
So how we kind of guide our partners in aftercare, and we don't just drop them off and see you. Like, our aftercare team keeps growing and growing because we take care of them, including the ones we didn't rescue, right? Yeah. There's oftentimes it's just an aftercare mission. And the one thing that we really invest in, every kid's so unique. There's not a one-size-fit-all for healing. Some might need this form, that form. There's so many different modalities, right? But one thing that is almost consistent everywhere is to provide opportunity, because eventually you get into a place where, like, what do you want to be? See, sometimes when you get these kids out, they don't believe they can even have a favorite color. You ask them, what's your favorite color? What? I didn't know that was a thing for me.
It's not an option.
Yeah, I'm a commodity. I'm not a person that has thoughts or
feelings.
They it's the craziest thing. You see this, like, wow, like, and then it's like, well, you do. And you can be whatever you want to be, you know? And that's the most fun part for me, when we get to say, here, what do you want? This one, like that kid I was telling you about, you want to be a hairdresser? Great. We're going to cover you. We're going to get a scholarship.
Wow.
You're going to, and this guy's killing it. Right? Wow. We even flew him up last year to the United States to go to like a real high-end hairdressing school, you
that's
know?
That's cool.
And I follow him on Instagram on you know, not my
separate
account.
Yeah.
But I just... I'm like, dude, you're killing it, bro. Like, he does big weddings and,
wow.
And you know, another child. Because we're just, you know, we're 8 years old. So the kids we rescued in 2014.
But now becoming adults.
Are becoming, so we're getting to watch. Like, can it happen? Can you reintegrate? I just recently, one of my aftercare folks sent me a picture of this other girl that I was on the operations, a little girl when she was when we rescued her. She's got two kids, an amazing husband, and she was briefing the first lady of the country she was in about human trafficking.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was showing the pictures that we gave her from her own operations.
Like, oh,
my gosh. That's me right there.
Come
and let
on.
Me tell you. Yeah, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I was crying. And, you know, she had this awesome husband, two little kids. And I was like, look at this. Like, they can come out. They can reintegrate. And it's just...
And really help make change.
Yes.
They can help impact people around them.
A lot of them. Well, let me... So one of the kids that grew up and wanted, a lot of them want to come work in anti-trafficking and for us, a lot of them for us. So this one kid became an adult and had recently been married, and he goes out and finds victims, which we don't tell him to do that because, like, bro, you got to... He's like, no, I go... You know, he just goes out to, like, public squares. And he can identify, like, I know you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. He approaches, this is a true story. This is crazy. This is so amazing. He went to this girl who looked, he knew she didn't want to be there, very, very young, and she was pregnant. Like, barely, he could tell. Because this guy knows the world so well. He knows
he was in it.
Yeah, and so he walks up and he says, are you okay? You know, I was once, you know, being in this situation as well. And she's like, why are you talking to me? He's like, I just want to help you. And she starts crying, and she's like, God must have sent you because... I decided to, right just before you walked out to me, I was going to kill myself.
Oh, my gosh.
And the baby would die, too, with me. And she's like, I don't think I can have this baby. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said to her, don't do it. Like, I promise you, we'll take care of you. I recently married, and we will adopt your baby.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll adopt your baby. And,
holy cow.
And, you know, some, like, 9-10 months later, we were in his country. And one of our aftercare people was at the baptism of this baby.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like...
That's crazy.
What?
That's
and amazing. Actually, the story is told in an upcoming documentary called Triple Take, which comes out next year. And it's just like, what a amazing cycle, right?
Wow.
Like, the trafficked kid becomes the rescuer and then takes a baby who was born out of being trafficked and raises this... It's the coolest. It's like, this is so cool. Like, it's working, you know? It's working, you know?
It's unbelievable, man. And so what's been you were telling me before about what's been happening in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And there's this crazy, you know, story that happens. Can you share some of this about what happened with the, you know, a lot of the young kids and women in Ukraine and how many you've been able to impact and rescue from that situation and what you guys are doing now with what's happening there?
Yeah. So, you know, people often are just perplexed at the number, like, $32 billion. You can't even. That's how much money, you know, is exchanged, right?
In the sex trafficking.
In the sex trafficking, just sex trafficking
industry.
If you human trafficking everywhere is much higher, but just the sex trafficking.
$32 billion.
And people wonder, like, well, that's a big market. How do you get people? How do you get kids? And it's harvest time when it's vulnerable time. So it's usually developing countries.
Wars, natural disasters, things like that.
The trafficker is just it's like a magnet. Because they're everywhere, right? So when the Russians invade on February 24th, it was my wife, who we had 12 kids in Ukraine that we were adopting out. Ukraine's a high trafficking country, so we have a program called Children Need Families. That if you're an orphan in certain countries, the chances of you being sexually exploited are like almost for sure.
Really?
So yeah. So it's just like
even if you're in an orphanage.
Yes, the orphanages are some of the worst centers of abuse.
Oh.
And orphanages have often in the past been. Like the centers of trafficking.
How do you know what to trust if you're supporting an orphanage? How do you know to trust them?
Well, finally, you know, the international community got together and they have orphanages signed what's called the Hague Convention.
Okay.
Which eliminates or almost completely eliminates the possibility.
Wow.
So you're certified and under the Hague and you
there's so find those orphanages.
Right.
And support the guys.
Right. But there's so many in countries that don't apply. And so we had 12 kids we were trying to get out, and Catherine, my wife, kind of found it. She founded this project and she runs it. And so she was devastated about these 12 kids. You know, she knows who they are. She knows where they are. She knows the parents that are about to adopt them. And she's devastated, right? Having adopted two babies on her own, she understands the emotional connection. Even before you get them, they're yours, you know? And it breaks your heart every night that you think, are they okay?
Oh.
You know? And so now there's a war. And she's like, she comes to me, she's like, you need to go to Ukraine. And we have a European office. And I'm like,
I'll send those guys.
Yeah. And she's like, no. You have to go. You have to go because something's going to happen if you go. And it, my wife's very deliberate, very smart. Like, she's not irrational. So when she's saying it, she's feeling it from a higher source. Yes. And we don't mess with that, right?
Right, right.
So, like, through tears and biting her lip, not wanting to say what she knows she has to, which is sending her husband to a war zone, right? It's like, all right, I guess we'll go. But I was still like, Kath, I don't know how I'm going to get in there. And I was telling you, a few hours later, yeah, I get a call from Mel Gibson, uh-huh, okay? And it's like...
He's like, I need you to go there and rescue these kids.
Yeah, because yeah, he's filming a movie in Budapest at the time, and he calls me, he's like, hey, there's other kids in Ukraine, they're getting hurt. And I'm like, oh, so the list gets bigger, you know? And so we end up going out there with Aerial Recovery, Jeremy Locke, you yes know? And we start these extraction operations. And by that time, the Ukrainians give us a list of 10,000 orphans.
10,000?
10,000 orphans, they don't know where they are.
So you went to go get 30 or 40... And yeah, then they're like, we need you to get these 10,000 kids.
Get them out. Yeah. And Aerial Recovery led that effort. We supported it. I was out there and we started extracting these, you know, these kids. The number is now 6,000. 6,000 women and children who we've been able to get out to safety.
That you've rescued. You and your efforts and the organizations yeah you've worked with.
Yeah. And I thought that was going to be it and that was going to be enough.
6,000 is a lot of people.
Yeah. And that's a pretty cool.
So what happens? How do you get them out? What is the process of identifying them, knowing they're the people that need to get out, and then actually getting them out? Is this helicoptering them out? Is it, you know, what is this?
Okay, so the government gives us a list, and they have intel folks that ride with us. We basically gotcha have a convoy, okay? Uh-huh. They give us the passcodes to get to blow through the checkpoints, because there's checkpoints gosh everywhere. And, you know, it's scary. I mean, there's bombs dropping, you hear them. So we just go in, and there's usually a point of contact, some care worker, uh-huh, you know, who's in that city. And it's usually the cities that just got bombed or in the process of being bombed, because that's where the need is in that moment. These kids, their parents are dying. They don't know where to go. And it's just, we get intel lists. There's usually a coordinate, like I said, in the target location that are gathering, a couple gotcha gathering
so
points.
So somewhere. You got to go find them and get
yeah
them out.
And yeah, we'll get the points, and we'll just go in. And we have a bus. Big bus.
You just put them on the bus.
Get on the bus and just get out of town.
And how do they know to trust you, that you guys are good guys and that you're...
Because the person on the ground, the caretaker that we have the point of contact, knows us. Uh-huh. And we have identification.
Gotcha.
They basically designate us all as Ukrainian like agents. Like we gotcha actually are like certified, like designated to be there to be able to take the kids out. We're working under their social services uh-huh department.
Got it.
So they're tracking it all. And then we bring the kids back, and the social services department then has housing for them.
Gotcha.
Some in Ukraine, some outside of Ukraine, uh-huh, depending on the Ukrainians make those decisions. But wow, so we are running 2-3 a week. You know, things get bombed, and we just keep moving in. So.
And you were saying that when you were there, you were also seeing these, I guess, pedophiles coming in, what you call harvesting, I guess. They're trying to find yeah these kids and steal them
yeah
for the sex trafficking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's because it's so easy, right?
Because like, these kids might be running around like they don't know where to go. Their home is gone.
Or they're crying over the dead bodies of their parents.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And they're so vulnerable. And we see these vans. We could have called up. You can't really call anyone, but we'd see it happening. It's like, oh, crap. And we'd have talked to these. Who are you? I'm like, I'm a Dutch. I'm from Holland. I'm just getting helping. I'm like, well, there's nothing.
Are you really helping? Or are you doing something?
Right.
Maybe some are. Maybe some aren't.
Are you registered? Know? Well, not everyone who's registered, right, you know.
So they would just say, oh, come in my van. I've got food. If you want to yeah come to a safe home, I've got a home for you to
and
stay.
And the kids get on.
Oh, wow.
And then they, you know, at that point, anyone with a Ukrainian passport could go anywhere because it's like the refugees, right?
Right.
Which they take advantage of. The traffickers take advantage. It's like, hey, where do you want to go? Let's get on an airplane. We'll go to somewhere warm. Want to go to you know, the Caribbean or want to
wow
go. And all of a sudden, we're seeing this uptick of demand and oh ads on the sex boards, you know. For Ukrainians.
Ads.
Yeah, you know, oh yeah.
Online like, sex boards.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
So people advertise what they're looking for?
Yeah. And what's available.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's a huge, huge, huge market.
How do these people on these, I guess, online sex, is it like chat rooms? Is it just like
mm-hmm, it's everything you can think.
Anywhere.
Of. Yeah.
It could be on social media
every
apps.
Every social media. And they can hide it in a way right that's like, they know what to put. There's certain symbols, signs.
So they're not actually saying what they're...
Not if it's underage.
Hey,
no.
I need a Colombian 16-year-old. They're not saying that. It's like symbols and emojis or something, right?
Yeah. But there's a whole underworld of how to...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly. or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game. Or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
So when you see that and you see them, you know, putting out these kind of symbols where you know, oh, something's fishy here, and you're able to, are you able to track those IP addresses right away, or how does that work?
Oh, yeah. So we have a pretty impressive online intel group. You know, well, they do everything, right? But the digital forensic, they'll help, they'll support the forensics. We go help when countries raid a house, they get the computers out. But they do open source intel work where they can do all sorts of stuff to track and find and dive in. And it's pretty impressive.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. And so what is this thing you were telling me about the hidden war? What is happening with this?
Yeah, so the hidden war was, while we're in Ukraine, they gave us another list of, they think over 200,000 women and children have been trafficked, right, out of the country.
Is that sex trafficking, or that could be organ trafficking?
It could be anything.
Anything, any type of trafficking.
Sex or organs, or mostly sex.
Wow.
So we decide that we're going to do something about this. So we put together a team of Ukrainian speakers. I got to get Ukrainian speakers. So we go to Budapest, do a training, and find, basically recruit and see who can pass our assessments. They can speak Ukrainian. And we find a couple of awesome operators, one of which is a 35-year-old actress who just killed it in all the training and the scenarios. And thank goodness, because we can put a makeup artist on her and turn her into a 13-year-old.
That's crazy.
Now, while this is a miracle from God, and it goes back to my wife. Like, she didn't even know why she was sending me here. We know why now. Because we get a phone call from a Dutch police asset that tells, he doesn't even know what we're doing, right? He says, hey, bro, I got a lead for you. This pedophile who we've been hunting for 2 years because he's a political activist trying to change the laws in Holland to make legal sex with children, right? There's interviews where he's talking about 3- and 4-year-olds should be able to consent.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just like, if they can consent to ice cream or a walk in the park, they can consent to sex too. Oh. It feels good for them too.
Oh, like, my gosh.
It's always to liberate the child. It's always for the child's benefit, you know? But this guy's been on the run because he was arrested in Holland for crimes against children. He's like, I just found the guy. He's in Mexico City hiding. And he told me on this undercover, like, you know, chat room or whatever. He says he's looking for Ukrainian kids he can insert into the Mexican market,
oh
sex
my
market.
Gosh.
And I'm like, bro, you have no idea. I'm sitting here right now with Ukrainians, one of which looks like a kid. So he introduces me to this guy. He says, hey, I got your guy. He's an American. He's in the market. He's got kids. He's in Ukraine right now. And this guy's calling me. He's like, come to Mexico and show me what you got.
You're talking to the pedophile.
Yeah, he calls me on my undercover phone.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So he invites me to Mexico City to come. He wants to see my product, and he's going to show me his stuff, right?
So is that, so would you say, okay, I'll see you next week? Is this what happens after that?
So
you bring kids, or what happens? You bring her?
Her. I bring her, but I first call. There's a couple of countries that if you're a pedophile and running away from us, you don't want to go to.
Mexico's one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're tapped in.
Very tapped in, very good friends. And one phone call, and they take, okay, come on down this date. So I call the guy, yeah, I'll be down, bro. You know, So we at that point, we're agents of the Mexican government. Mm-hmm. They sign us up. We're helping them. And
so this is what, a couple weeks later down the road now? Is this like pretty...
A couple weeks.
Wow.
Like as soon as we can make it happen, right? And they're getting all this in. So the Dutch are sending us we're sending it all to them. Uh-huh. And they're kicking butt before we even get there.
Right.
I mean, they've got this guy on possession of child exploitation material.
So they've already got intel and information on him.
Possession of weapons.
Oh, my God.
All they really needed was, can you lure this guy out? Because we can't find him.
Oh.
Mexico City's like a country.
Massive.
Like, yeah. So we end up doing that by showing him the girl. Hey, bro. You come meet the... So we lure him out, and he, because he wants to see the girl, and then that allows the Mexicans to identify him and his house. They run a search warrant on his house that night, and he's famous. He was famous in Holland for hiding his material, his child exploitation material. He'll hide it on like micro SD cards or thumb drives, you know. You can hide it under tables, places where... And he bragged to me when we were talking, saying the Dutch didn't get the best stuff I had. You know?
You mean like the content that he was filming?
Yeah, or getting from other sources,
oh my gosh,
like children being raped.
Oh,
because they love this stuff. Like they just like their collection.
Oh my gosh!
So another miracle was that. So one of the programs, I think you may be aware of, we have these dogs these canines and they're sniffers, right? And just like a drug dog or a bomb dog, but these dogs can sniff out digital media.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so there's a little glue component in every microchip.
And they can smell it.
And we train them to smell
it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're heroes, these dogs. And we have about, I think, 80%+ of the dogs in employed in this are from us.
Oh my gosh.
We're kind of the pioneers in this. And we get these dogs and we give them to law enforcement. So they take them on the warrants where they're looking for pedophiles, and it's like, find the stuff. So these dogs are killing it. They're amazing.
They're finding all this data everywhere.
Yeah, they're amazing. And sometimes the only evidence that exists that a child might be getting hurt is on some micro SD card under a carpet. That dog's going to find it.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're beautiful animals. And they just signal us. Sometimes they tap, or they sit down on all fours. I showed you a video before we got in here. You see the dog that's running the house.
Yeah.
So that was the dog in Mexico. So when the Mexicans ran his house, as it turned out, another miracle. Okay, 6 months ago, before this happened, and this was in June. This was on June 5th of this year. We're in Mexico City, and there's press all about this. You can Google this, and people can look at the whole story. But it just so happened that 6 months prior to that, one of our officers decided that the next dog we're going to train, we're going to keep, so that we can deploy rapidly. There had been no dogs international yet that we knew of. And so this dog, Hidu, this little 2-year-old black lab, right, had just graduated from our program like a week before this operation.
Training school, yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
He's ready. He's right there. He's in Thailand kicking butt right now.
Wow.
But,
that's
but
amazing.
He flies down to Mexico with his handler, who's one of my operators.
Oh, my gosh.
And they hit the house. Dude finds four hidden devices.
No way.
Yeah. He goes out on all four when he finds something.
That's incredible.
And then they pull it out. They find it. Here it is. So this guy's done. Like, he's done.
But so you were there with this guy and the girl, the Ukrainian girl,
yeah,
right? And you were there. You lure him out of his house, or what happened?
Yeah, he was going to come to a party.
Okay.
I set up a party for
him.
She said,
I got a girl. The girl's going to be there.
Come see the girl.
Meet her.
Yeah.
And so he came.
Yeah, and the Mexicans are everywhere. Like, they're set up. Now, here's the important part of this story, because this is not even the biggest hit yet. So we want to find his lieutenants.
Oh, my God.
Like, who are the... Because you fled with your other political activists. Where are they? So we actually set the scene up to bring up to the hotel room, like a suite, and we knew he wouldn't talk to us. So we're just like,
why wouldn't he talk to you?
Oh, because he's scared to death.
But he would come to the party, but he wouldn't say hi.
Yeah.
So he would just
say a little bit. This guy's the most wanted pedophile in the world, and he knows it, right? He's running. He's hiding in Mexico City. So that we got him to come out only because I showed him pictures. I did FaceTime. I showed the girl on FaceTime while we're in Mexico. Come tomorrow. So we got him like, this
excited.
Has to be real. This has to be real. I mean, I got this long hair. You know, I got this, I mean, I look so real. I got tattoos all over my body. You know, they're henna tattoos, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he shows up. But the one question I need to ask him is, where's Martine and Leslie? Because he knows
his partners.
Because he's public. He's a public figure. So it wouldn't surprise him that, hey, if I'm going to go into business with you, you know I've Googled you, bro. You know I've looked into you. But I can only ask that question one time.
You can't keep asking.
Yeah. Because
he's getting suspicious.
This guy wouldn't. Yeah. So I wait. And we set this whole thing up. I got a hotel near a big park in Mexico City because I waited and we like hung out, had lunch. I said, hey, let's go down and see the girl. She's down in the park. She FaceTimed us from the park. And there's a monument over there, so he could tell it was the same. She was downstairs. So once we get downstairs, he does exactly what I hope. Because right when we get downstairs, he looks at me and he's like, I now know you're not a cop.
Wow.
Because he's like, you would have arrested me up there. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's exactly what I wanted. And then he goes an extra step and he says to me.
He said you would arrest me up there?
Yeah, because I would have. He knows he's smart. If I was a cop, why would I bring him to the park?
Why would he put
where he could run?
Right. Why would he put himself in a position where he, if he thinks you're a cop, why would he even show up?
Because he wanted that girl. It was worth the risk.
Wow.
It was worth the risk.
For you to sell her the girl, essentially, so that he could sell her over and over
exactly.
again.
Exactly. And maybe and have sex with him.
Oh, my
rape
gosh.
Her also, right? So he takes the risk. But once we're in the park, he also says to me, and I also now know you're not an assassin from Holland. And I said, you thought that was even a possibility? He's like, well, yeah, dude, they want me, man. But I know you would have killed me up there. Well, you can't kill me down here. There's too many people around. But this is exactly where I wanted him. I set it up this way.
Are you filming this too? Or
yes.
Audio or something?
Yeah,
or?
This is.
You got cameras.
Yeah. And also, there's cops everywhere in the park.
Oh, my God.
Because they knew that I was going to ask this question. And they just said, take as long as you want. If he runs, we'll catch him. He won't
run. Right. And
then I asked the question. I said, so where are those boys, Martin and Leslie? Like, they seem like cool dudes. He's like, oh, yeah, you read about them. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, they're actually running a sex hotel.
Oh, my gosh. He says this.
Yes. But this is why he's, because he just got this emotional release.
Now he feels he can be honest now.
I'm real, right? Yeah. He's like, they're in a sex hotel running. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm just going, oh, my gosh. Like, this is a bigger hit than me. They're bigger than you all of a sudden, right? So I said, you know, can I go with you? He's like, no, I don't know you well enough. I said, have you even been there? He's like, yeah, I spent a couple months there. See, he doesn't realize, but I know. That night, we're going into your house. I'll get your passport. I will know what country you are in.
Wow.
So I said, well, how long were you there? He's like, 2 months. I was with a bartender at the hotel. I'm like, okay, well, the country's locked up because you have a passport. And he wouldn't tell me much more than that. And at that point, I knew we had enough.
You're not going to ask more, too.
Right. Yeah. So I peeled off at that point, like, hey, got to take a phone call, which was the sign. And then we have the footage, right?
And he's with the girl at this point, or no?
No, we never let him get to her.
Oh, wow.
Right? And then the cops just start coming out of the trees.
Shut up.
When I go off like this, that was, like, now is the time. And he just, like, before he doesn't even know what hit him, he just, it's over. And what's up, it's all filmed. You know, he's the guy with the red hair. You see him in the
cops
video.
Are just surrounding him.
Yeah.
He's just arrested.
Yeah. So then the dog goes in, you know, finds the four devices. The next day, the attorney general talks about Hidu, the dog. He's the most famous dog in Mexico to this day.
Wow.
He was on the front page of every news outlet.
That's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, this little dog that, like, just saved the day, you know. So he had an OUR jacket on, you know.
Amazing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, super cool. They're called ESD dogs, electronic storage device dogs.
Storage device.
So, yeah, electronic storage device canines.
Wow. And so the hidden war then... Is how does that connect to the hidden war?
Well, can I tell you when we go to Ecuador?
Yeah.
Because this is where I'll get to the hidden war. Because it hits the United States eventually. That's the scary part about this and the important part. Because this is a pedophile network that's kind of all over.
Well, they're all connected.
They're all connected. They're all talking.
From all over the world.
From all over the world. And from inside the United States as well. So our intel unit goes in and looks like, okay, we got the passport. 2 months he was in Ecuador. So the hotel's somewhere in Ecuador. Where? Well, our intel guys, our open source OSINT guys, you know, they go and they messed up one time. There was an ad in a little village in Canoa, Ecuador. There was a big earthquake in 2016. Very vulnerable population.
Wow.
Single parent homes, and that's exactly where a pedophile would go hang out. There was one ad for like this boutique hotel in Canoa. And it's put on by, it just says Leslie. Like one time it says Leslie.
Wow.
He screwed up, put a name, but that's all it says. 50-50 chance, whatever. We call it Ecuadorian police. Super tight connections with those guys. Homeland Security, our U.S. Embassy supports it. They rush out to the village and on the beach and they set up on the hotel that's in the ad. Within 1 hour, both those guys rear their heads around, looking, just casually come out, and there's little boys in the house.
Oh.
And then this other dude comes out of the house. Okay, we're like, oh my gosh, that's the fourth guy we would have looked for. He was visiting as a tourist with another dude.
Crazy.
And this is so important because it was in kind of a part of a, it was being remodeled. I just got word literally this morning from the prosecutor down in Ecuador. He's like, bro, we just, I don't even know, we found out. These guys were launching in a huge, they were going to finish that up, and it was going to be like, pedophiles everywhere. You want to have your little boys? Come on down here. Mm. It's very obscure. There's not much. Yeah. So this guy who comes out of the house, okay, because we're going to the judge, like, judge, you got to get us a warrant. We got to get in. He's like, I don't have enough. Get me more. Get me more. And it was that same day this guy leaves. What are the chances? He leaves the first day we get eyes on the place. He gets on a plane. We've tracked him to Miami. He's coming probably to set something up here because they're going to set up a bunch of hotels. He comes to Miami. We call Homeland Security. That's who I used to work for. They pick him up, do a full forensic on his computer, and they find all this evidence, right, of child sex. So he gets sent back to Holland. There's a warrant for him waiting in Holland, right? So he's gone. We got him caught. And then that gave us the evidence we needed because the machines came out of the house into Miami. So the judge is like, done, warrant. Boom, you saw the footage, right? Knock down the doors. And then the guys get arrested. And then all these kids and their families start emerging onto the streets. And we had child forensic interviewers ready in case this happened. We've counted somewhere between 300 and 400 kids were likely sexually abused over the 2 years those guys were there. Oh. And all their kids, the kids start coming, sobbing, telling their parents. The parents were like, what is going on? The Dutch uncles, they had Xbox, they had games, they had candy. And they bring kids in every day.
Oh, my gosh, man.
I've never seen anything like this. We actually built an aftercare home in the village just to take care of hundreds of kids. We feed them because you got to take care of those basic needs first, right? It's the vulnerability always that begins with the problem. And then they're going through their therapy and all this. Man. We end up going to the president of Ecuador's home. It's this big deal, right? Now we're friends with them and we're helping. My wife and I are working directly with the first lady to help on adoptions. And so it's this amazing thing that's happening. But, you know, what's scary and where Americans need to wake up. Mm-hmm. We call this the hidden war because the overt war is what I just told you. The hidden war is who in the hell are these guys? I mean, they're going online and saying, kill OUR if you ever want to have sex with kids. Oh. Like, this used to be very closet. It's not. They're coming out now and talking. And what's scary right now is happening is we studied these guys are a political party. So they have literature. Jeez. They're policy platforms. And the things they want kids to have access to lots of sex material. They want kids to have, they talk about like separating parents from kids. Like, don't let the parents get in the way and how to do that.
Wow.
All sorts of things.
For someone that is hearing this and they didn't know the weight of just the sex trafficking world and how big it was and how big it is and where it could be going if we don't do anything to stop it, and it feels daunting to them, what can they do to get involved in some way in supporting ending sex trafficking? What's the first step? How can they learn more? Where can they go on your site to get more information about what governments are doing?
It's a super dark world, which is why so many just want to turn a blind eye.
Right.
And that's why I'm so grateful for you, Lewis, because you're a very prominent person in the media, public figure that's not afraid.
Right.
Most are afraid to talk about it because they say, Tim, my place is a place of light. Like, I don't want to bring darkness to my people, and it's like no. You're going to bring light to the darkness, right? Mm-hmm. But you've been a supporter and you've donated so much money. You brought so many people. So thank you for being brave enough to even talk about this. And it's so important. And the good news about, you know, what we can show people is we actually have a solution. Mm. We're not just going to wave some dark flag of horror and terror. Right. We will tell you what it is, but we're going to tell you we will go anywhere and we know how to go there. We have partners all over. I mean, this case I just told you, in 4 months, we pull all that off. And we can do it again.
Wow.
And we're training law enforcement, empowering law enforcement, moving rapidly and getting kids out. And so if you come visit us at OURrescue.org and learn, there's videos, there's content. We have materials that help you to identify human trafficking or exploitation that might be happening in your own community, in your own home. So we have trainings. And then you can participate in the rescue and rehabilitation by supporting our teams around the world.
Wow. So OURrescue.org.
Yes.
And I think there's also another thing about the hidden war.
Yeah, the hidden war was this crazy case that's ongoing. It's been through all these countries. So if you want to learn more about that specifically, and if you want to contribute directly to this important mission of this particular war that's infiltrating the United States and everywhere else, It's OUR Rescue and then / Hidden War.
Yes.
And we have a brand new trailer that's coming out explaining this, and we're gonna launch it when your show launches.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing, man.
Yeah.
You're a hero, Tim.
I appreciate you,
man.
Thank you.
I acknowledge you for how you are so committed to this. And I know, you know, I've seen you off camera and I've seen you on camera, and I know how challenging it is to take on the weight of it. You know, the responsibility, the weight to psychologically shift yourself and be in on these rescues and act like, you know, you're in as a pedophile and then be with your family. There's got to be a lot of pressure and weight because the mission is so big and it's so dark.
Yeah.
And so I really acknowledge you for your incredible big heart on how you just keep showing up for so many kids, because there's so many kids that don't have hope. And for you to be able to be out there and your team's out there, it really inspires me that there could be a stop to this one day, that there is a solution, and you guys are doing everything in your power. I almost feel like you're doing too much and you need to take a break sometimes and take a rest and take care of yourself, because I can see sometimes how it can feel so overwhelming for you. But I just acknowledge you for the call to service that you continue to show up and use yourself, your skills, your talents, your voice to be of service to help so many kids that don't have the ability to help themselves.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
These are our most vulnerable people in the world. And I really acknowledge you, man. You're a real hero. So I appreciate it.
You're so kind. And thank you. You know, I always tell, this is the truth about fighting slavery of any kind. It's, you know, we can get thousands out, right? But, you know, when Abraham Lincoln met Harriet Beecher Stowe for the first time, who was a great abolitionist, along with Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass, and they got really loud, right? Mm-hmm. And he said to her, he didn't take the credit for the end of slavery, and he doesn't deserve all the credit, frankly. He doesn't deserve most of the credit, and I love him. But he even said to her, you're the lady that wrote the book that started this war.
Wow.
There has to be that loud voice, and I always say the storytellers like you, you're the actual heroes. We can only rescue a certain amount. It's the storytellers that move the entire community, that move the needle, that bring the masses and stand up. And that's the light that the darkness of human trafficking cannot withstand. So So I thank you for being a light and being a constant friend to this cause, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man, I'm excited, man. I want to continue to support you. We've supported you. We want to keep supporting you. Ever since I heard your talk at Tony Robbins' event, I think it was 2 years ago. Almost 3 years ago now, because I think it was January, February 2020.
That's right. That's correct. Yeah.
So almost 3 years ago is when I first heard about you and heard your speech, and I was just like, it spoke to me. You know, it wasn't something that happened to me, but through sexual abuse, it's kind of related to me in a sense that I know what it feels like to be vulnerable and be taken advantage of sexually as a little boy. Mm. And I can only imagine the pain and trauma and suffering of being sold by a stranger, or being sold by your own parents, not once, but over and over and over again. And so the pain that I felt was just, you know, I could only think times 1,000 what these children are going through, the suffering. And so the fact that this is your mission and your wife is fully on board, where you're probably gone half the year, you know, out serving and in dangerous scenarios, is just, I really honor and acknowledge both of you. And I got to meet her at the last OUR event. So
can I say something about her?
Yeah.
Real quick. I wouldn't have done this without her. Mm-hmm. I was a total wimp. And when I had to either do the case or I had to quit my job to do these operations, right? And that's what started OUR. It's like I got shut down because of jurisdiction, but I was this close. And it was like, and it was her that said to me, when I said, I'll do it. And then the money started coming in. I was like, wait, I'm not going to actually do it.
Right.
And I remember she grabbed me and she's like, I will not let you jeopardize my salvation by not doing this.
Unbelievable.
And so when you say, like, you know, she sends me out, I'm gone half the year, it's true. Probably more than half the year. But it's she's the one who says, if you don't do this, I don't know what blessings I won't get
to help
raise my kids. So that's her mentality. Like, she's like, you got to keep going. And And it was her, if you remember, when I started that, she's the one who said, you got to go to Ukraine. Yeah. And she didn't even know why. But after the 4 months and the crazy, all these countries and 400 kids in Ecuador and kids in Mexico and in the U.S. being affected, I remember I was back decompressing, sitting on the couch, and she's doing all the stuff with the kids. And I just started sobbing because I looked over at her and I was just like, oh, my gosh. That's why you sent me to Ukraine.
Wow.
God sees these kids in Kanoa that no one's looking for, and all he knows he has to just touch this daughter of his.
Oh.
And that she, even if she can't understand why, but she knows she has to send her husband, which is, I mean, that's a way more difficult sacrifice than going in the action is easy compared to, like, can you imagine? I'm responsible if the father of my children is killed by a Russian missile.
Oh.
Like, I don't know how you did. I couldn't do it. But in the end, I got to go back to, even this morning, I woke up this morning in Utah before I came down here, right? And I said to her this morning, because I just got that news from the prosecutor, I said, Catherine, look, they discovered that these guys were about to launch a whole sex tourist hotel. And the prosecutor said, thousands of children will not be raped because you guys took that place down. I said, Catherine, look, all because God talked and you did it. You sent me to Ukraine. Who knew it ended in Ecuador? But that's what you were, because she said, I didn't know why I was sending you. It didn't make any sense. Those 12 kids, I knew you weren't going to get them, but she said, I knew something would happen. And so she really is. She is the unsung hero in this, because none of it would have happened. And now thousands of kids have been rescued. Or, you know, when you look at the amount of arrests, the studies that show up to 100 kids will be hurt by one of these guys. So preventative, kids that were rescued that never knew they were rescued.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm telling Catherine this, that this is because of you, because you were willing to do the thing that was impossible.
The courageous.
Yeah. Like forced me to leave my secure job. We didn't have money.
Right.
I had no savings. And like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm the provider here. And she's like, I don't care. She says, I don't care if we end up in a tent, you know, on a beach somewhere. Like, you have to do this, you know, and then the same courage to send us to Ukraine. And she doesn't care about being recognized. It makes her uncomfortable, but I just have to say that she is the one that makes this happen.
That's beautiful, man. Well, I want people to go to OURrescue.org. Make sure you guys go there. We'll have it all linked up and we'll put some of these videos that you'll send me in the video and link them up to your website everywhere. If you guys want to learn more, that's the best place. You're all over social media, updating people about what's happening as well, so they can follow you on social media. You do have this book as well that shares more about it, Slave Stealers.
This tells the whole story of how we started.
Yep. Yeah. True accounts of slave rescues then and now. So if you guys want to learn more about how it got started, this is an amazing place to get started on this book. So check it out. We'll link this up as well. Tim, I'm grateful for you, man. I want to ask you one final question. And I think I asked you this before, but I'm curious your response now, about a year and a half later. It's called the three truths questions, hypothetical scenario. So imagine you live as long as you want to live. You can live 100, 200, as old as you want to be on this earth. And you accomplish everything you want to accomplish in your life. You live the life you want to from here moving forward. You see it all happen. But for whatever reason, you've got to take all of your written work, this interview, any videos that you have, any content that you've created out there in the world, it's got to go with you to the next place. So we don't have your information anymore, of your written word, your audio, your voice, or any videos of you. But you get to leave behind three things you know to be true, three lessons that you would share with the world. And this is all we would have to remember your wisdom, are these three things. What would be those three truths for you?
For me, I think number one would have to be that faith is clarity.
Mm.
Everyone has their own idea what that means, a higher power, right?
Yeah.
Faith in that is clarity. The world is so crazy and chaotic and confusing, and it's like, how do you know it's true? I can't trust any source anymore. And I happen to learn this because I'm trying to find children. I have this desire, and it's like, I gotta cut through the crap and find the truth. That truth leads me to a kid. Then I've learned that if I don't turn to that higher source, I'm totally lost.
Yeah.
And I won't be able to make it because I'll be crushed spiritually, emotionally. So to me, I say faith is clarity. Mm-hmm. Faith is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trust that. I don't care if someone calls it their gut. Everyone can call it whatever they want. But that intuition has been right mm-hmm. almost all the time.
Yeah.
Or marry someone that has it. That,
or lean
good,
on them.
Or have a good friend that has that piece. I think we underestimate the power of service. I think mm-hmm. service turns the lights on. Ooh. Again, we all have darkness. Everyone's dealing with it in some form. But there's a special thing that happens when you serve somebody. It's just, it makes you feel, I mean, just think about it. When you're on the street and someone says, hey, where's you know, Jones Avenue? And you just take 2 minutes and tell them, you feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're almost like, that felt good. I hope they get there.
Yeah.
If their cycle fall, like you want, that's what it is. That's a light that turns on. And it's actually, Tony Robbins taught me this, but uh-huh. when you serve and pray and meditate, any of those things, your brain literally releases a beautiful chemical cocktail that actually like makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. And then the studies go on to say that people who have that chemical reaction tend to be people that display things like extra courage mm-hmm. and extra creativity and extra love. And it's interesting because it's not that the chemicals do that, because they've tried to counterfeit those drugs and it doesn't do that.
Right.
But what happens, it prepares your heart. It prepares mm-hmm. your body and your soul to open up, and then the higher power stuff. Because how else can you get love, really, and nice. Creativity? That's an outer worldly kind of yes. thing that comes to you. Creativity, courage, love. But you can get it through serving. It's like yes. God has set something up in your body that connects to the higher source, right? And so service is the key to me. If I'm feeling down, I remember I went through something horrible in 2020, like just horrible, just this injustice completely that was happening to me and my family. And what I didn't know, what do I do? I'm going to go into Mexico and just go undercover and find kids. And it was the only way I was going to survive right. this. Right. And today we have one of our best offices in that region. And wow. we've done many, many, including the little boy I just told you about earlier.
Right.
He's in that region where I went. I took a team and now we have an office. And it was the only thing that even got me out of the, just from drowning.
Right.
But it did. Serving people is magical.
Wow.
And it's healing.
It
you
is.
Know, it does so much. And if we were all doing it, we would eliminate all the problems.
Yes.
Like, we wouldn't be going to war and we would just be loving each other, you know?
That's it. Yeah. The service.
So service.
And the third thing?
The third thing I would say is the power of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to deal with that on many fronts. Like, I see people that hurt kids all the time.
Gosh.
And if you let yourself,
it's a poison.
It's a poison. It will kill you. And just forgiving someone else, and it's hard sometimes, right? I've had, you know, it's the craziest thing. You know, human trafficking became politicized somehow a couple years ago, and so it just became this weird like time and just you were open season if you were like I came under crazy attack as part of that thing in 2020. It was like just lies, like because I guess anyone who gets and you're just exposed to it.
Yes.
And it's like it's hard enough that I'm almost widowing my wife and orphaning my kids, and then I get to come home to lies and you know, former employees who are just lying, you know, and because they got fired for cause and it's just a lot of crap.
Yes.
And if you don't forgive, you're going to be just, you know, along with the service, just forgive people. Like,
yeah.
love them.
Love
you can
them.
Love anyone if you, you know, just try to love them. You know, pray to love. Pray for the feeling. But forgiveness is liberating.
Yes.
And you're just not going to work. You're not going to be able to serve. You're not going to do anything. So I guess those are the three most important things.
Oh, Tim, you're amazing, man. I appreciate you. Thanks again for coming on and sharing, brother. Appreciate it, man.
I hope today's episode inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a rundown of today's show with all the important links. And if you want weekly exclusive bonus episodes with me, as well as ad-free listening experience, make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this, please share it with a friend over on social media or text a friend. Leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts and let me know what you learned over on our social media channels at Lewis. Howes. I really love hearing the feedback from you, and it helps us continue to make the show better. And if you want more inspiration from our world-class guests and content to learn how to improve the quality of your life, then make sure to sign up for the Greatness Newsletter and get it delivered right to your inbox over at greatness.com/newsletter. And if no one has told you today, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.